You lost two high-quality players in Alex Tuch and Bo Byram, and I feel like there was a half attempt with Byram's replacement to try to bring something back in between. The Tuch replacements, I think they're hoping, are 82 possible games of Kulik returning and Hellenius and Offlund. Between those three, it's going to make itself good. And it definitely could work out that way. But the fact that as of this moment, the roster doesn't look really much different other than two big subtractions, I think it is underwhelming.
Brian Pozio, our pre- and post-game Sabres host on our morning show today. Started with some Sabres. Let's get Jerry in here. Go ahead, Jerry.
Hey, how's it going, guys?
Good. Thanks for calling, Jerry. We appreciate
it. Yep, you're welcome. You know, I'm 62, and we traded for this amazing asset and a fourth overall pick. But the minute he's going to be relevant, I might not be living here. Like, I think this team is ready to win, and they got this amazing asset. And then I think the question that needs to be asked was, did we think that asset was more than we paid? And I think a lot of people do. Would you have traded Bowen for Hellebuck? Because that's what the asset cost us. So I think they looked at the asset and thought, geez, this is a really good asset. Maybe we want to hang on to it.
But you keep saying the word asset. You mean by that the fourth overall pick? Is that what you're talking about?
The fourth overall pick, oh, yeah. Okay. I think it's a tremendous value. But, you know, again, a defenseman that takes a very long time to mature, you know, maybe we'll see him next year, probably the year after, and impactful mm-hmm. one in 4 or 5 years. Is that what we wanted here?
I didn't. No, I was eager for them to trade that pick. I said it then, and I know this is not how you should do things, because you should not treat an asset that's that valuable like you just found it on the street. But I would have supported that. I would have traded the fourth overall pick for Matthew Nyes. And I know that makes me an insane person, but I think in the here and now, right now, that would have helped me. And that's not a guy that would have only been here for a year or two either. He's only a few years older than the guy they drafted. So, like, to me, that would have been solid if that were in the window. Everybody seemed to be smashing me over the head at the time with, like, that'd be a gross overpay. Okay, but I've got it. Like, I flipped Byram for a ready-made Tuch replacement. that's all I really needed to do. And I think I'd be feeling very different about, you know, I've got veteran, I've got size, I've got penalty killing, I've got, like, it's all there, and it's, you know, a 25-30 goal guy, which is close enough to talk. It just would have made a lot of sense to me, even though I think, yeah, you might have gotten laughed at the way Chicago got laughed at for giving up the fourth overall pick for Bowen Byram and taking Jordan Greenway off your hands. But I don't care. I got the guy I needed to fill the spot on my roster. And so I would have done that.
It's just kind of, it's complicated, this one, because if you just simply do that, then while you don't want to just push all your chips in on these young forwards, you've immediately taken one and removed him.
Right.
You blocked him. So there would have had to be some other move with it, and maybe you get back into the first round or something like that. Yeah, I love my draft picks, and I don't think you have to be nearly that fatalistic about how long it might take. I mean, this is a fourth overall player. It might have been a little bit of a reach.
He could be playing here by April. I mean, he wants to go one and done in college. We'll see if he really does. You know, what kind of year he has. He's playing, this is Rudolph we're talking about, the fourth overall pick. He's going to be playing on a monster, perennial national title contending team at Denver. So he'll get opportunities to shine, and if he does well with it, then that includes World Juniors even, maybe, if that fits into the timeline for him. I've seen him listed as a possibility for Team Canada. So, you know, you get that.
You would hope.
He could be a guy that by midseason, right after the World Juniors, we're all really excited about and happy to have him. And I'll want to shut up and forget that I ever said I would have traded that pick for Matthew Nyes.
You know,
it all depends on how the season is going and, like, how Hellenius is doing. And also, you know, are they producing? Are they in the lineup? Can I count on them? That kind of stuff.
I was at peace with Tuch walking because I thought, maybe was I naive? I thought Kekalainen, all right, well, if I've got a top GM, that's not really where you have to spend the most money on guys that you know in a couple of years or probably will be in decline. You know, that's not really sort of an ace move. Doesn't mean in a vacuum they shouldn't have done it, but I wanted for Kekalainen to be somebody who could pull off the other stuff, whether that's Matthew Nyes or whoever.
Mm-hmm.
And if it's not too simplistic, and hopefully it's fair, maybe he just wouldn't come off his spot, you know, whatever trade you want to use for that. Hellebuck is the easiest, I think, because they're still talking about mm-hmm. whether he ends up leaving Winnipeg. And it's not over yet. But, you know, you might have a poker game playing out, and he just will not. Poker's not the best metaphor for that, but he won't budge. And that's other Sabre GMs. I mean, that's what Adams was ripped for, was that he wouldn't move on players. And that's what that's Regier's legacy.
There was a Botrel story that made the rounds that he refused to throw in a mid-round pick in a package that would have landed Ehlers from Winnipeg for Ristolainen. With Ristolainen as the centerpiece. I don't remember what else might have been involved, but there was like a Saturday pick in the NHL draft. Like, no, too much.
Yeah, so so I mean, you don't want whatever kind of appetite you have for win now and trading draft picks and trading kids. I mean, you want to think that Kekalainen can get others to sign on the line, which is dotted. And when it comes to this offseason, there hasn't really been any of that. So that's right. If it's not saying too much, not knowing whether Matthew Nyes, for example, was even really gettable.
Right.
Disappointing on that front.
Yeah. And I've said this before, like part of the reason, I mean, I can't go all the way and tell you exactly why I believe what I believe and know what I believe I know. So that don't make sense. But they were doing background work to try to find a way to make Vincent Trocheck want to come here. I know that was happening. So that tells me Ryan McLeod or somebody to make room, because Vincent Trocheck on this roster as presently constituted would have made zero sense. I don't love the idea of him as an idea anyway, but if you open up a hole and you need someone provable, good two-way guy, okay. The only reason they're doing that is because they're trying to do something big. And I think that was Hellebuck, and I think Winnipeg waited too long. It got to noon, and then they wanted to do it, and no trades kicked in, and the Sabres were left like going, well, great, thanks for calling back, but we can't do this now. I think I don't have all of that part locked down. The Trocheck thing, I firmly believe was happening.
And he has signed elsewhere, by
yeah,
the way.
He's gone. So like that's not a potential fill in now. So that could complicate the idea of doing, you know, if Winnipeg came to you now and said, yeah, you know, let's try to cobble together without you know, the whoever was blocking the no trade, I think it was UPL, but, you know, doesn't have to have been him. It just makes sense that they would have wanted to ship the contract and the player out in a goalie trade for a $8.5 million goalie. But if they wanted to call back now, the Sabres might not feel like, well, great, you want Ryan McLeod and something else instead of a goalie, but I can't give up Ryan McLeod now because I don't have Vincent Trocheck to fill that spot. And one of these kids, we're not ready to trust, you know, somebody with that job. He's a penalty killer too, you know, veteran guy. Say what you will, he kind of sagged, certainly in the playoffs, if not even before that. But still, all the, you know, the options to fill the holes aren't the same anymore. So maybe they couldn't even do it from their end. Or at least that's how they would view it. Like, this is not going to be what we thought it was going to be anymore.
Did you see Kekalainen on your trip? You were at a cottage. Don't they all go to a cottage?
I was at a cottage.
Is there more than one cottage?
There's a lot of cottages. Yeah. I would bet there's a lot of cottages. There's a lot of parts of where I was in Ontario that are, I would say, out of my price range rental-wise. And I would bet someone who's been working in hockey like he has one of those places. like, you know, you could land a helicopter on the property kind of place. Whereas, you know, I was in a little, you know, a hut, basically.
I have been there the last two summers, not this year. And the places were very different and not even really that near each other. It's a big country.
It's just a lot. Ontario is massive.
Yes. A lot of lakes.
Yeah.
And the first year, so three summers ago or two summers ago, it was like it was our own lake. I mean, for a week, mm-hmm. you could have landed a helicopter on this property.
Yeah.
And, you know, that was fabulous. But to get anywhere, if you wanted to just go get a beer or something or go shopping.
20-40 minute ride.
Way whatever. More. Way more.
Okay. Yeah.
Yeah. Like an hour to go just to the store to get firewood or something.
It's a little remote. Yeah.
Last year's was more.
Yeah. Yeah. Right.
City life. Not city yeah. life. And the lake was just booming with. You know, we rented a boat, and there were there was lots of action last year. So definitely, there are different forms.
We had a pretty quiet. We were on the Muskoka River, so not a lake, but that was cool. There was like a set of rapids very close by. That was really fun to go sort of, you know, canoe. We didn't run through there in the kayak or the canoes, but you could like ground, you know, like go ashore and then go fool around with the rapids, and it was a good spot.
I loved it, except for the few minutes there where I thought I was drowning. Mostly, I loved it though. Other than that, I had a great time up there.
Just getting in and out of the kayak is like that's the hardest part of the whole thing.
Yeah, don't fall, don't tip.
Just getting in and out.
Because I don't know. After, I mean, right now you and I are like worlds apart just in terms of golf. And I played Saturday and then yesterday with you. And I was just like, I feel like I have no leg strength at all.
Yeah.
Everything I'm doing swinging the clubs is kind of guessing. And I hit a few.
Yeah.
But no consistency. And I'm not playing either. So it sort of compounds itself and feel really weak.
Somebody hit you with like bags of rocks here. Is that
really weak?
Your body's feeling it.
Like I could fall over at any moment.
Right.
This course was hilly yesterday, and I was like really careful just like to not fall. So that's not good. But I went in for treatment today.
Oh, look at you.
Yeah.
Little cold tub?
Stretch and recover. we're gonna have to do some work to get this back. I know how you can out there, you can relate. It's super annoying. You want it to just come naturally forever.
Mm-hmm.
But it doesn't. Hasn't for me, anyway. Chris Mack, Sal Capaccio, still to come today, 803-0550 for your calls, Bills and Steelers in the preseason finale tomorrow night. Mike Schopen, the Bulldog, WGR.